Yes, a little bit of Debussy there to take us on to our next story. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN with Michael Cathcart. And recently I went to an exhibition which is causing a bit of a stir in Melbourne. It's at the Australian Centre for the Contemporary Art, and it's by the Belgian sculptor Belinda de Broekjeroen. She works with wood and wax and wool and horses and horsehide and resin to make sculptures of people and animals and trees, and they're all in some kind of metamorphosis. And the works grapple with some very big themes: life, death, suffering, and I think solace. There's a real sense of the way in which she's also working with old masters like Giotto and Caravaggio. And her work is, well, brutal and challenging, inspiring, and I also found it quite comforting. So do come with me as we head to the gallery and meet Belinda de Broekjeroen, who'll take us on a tour of her exhibition. It's called We Are All Flesh.
Oh my God. Now this is more extraordinary than I had been prepared for. So there are two animals hanging from the roof, like two carcasses, an extraordinary sight, breathtaking sight. So we're in a big white box with these two animals, and the artist is right here, Belinda de Broekjeroen.
Hello.
What are we looking at?
To my installation that I made specially for the space in Akka, my first show in Australia. So I was working on this exhibition a long time, so the work that we see in the back, the two connected horses, I started working on that piece 2 years ago already.
Look, shall we walk over there and have a look? Yeah. So we're passing, as we walk through the space, a white horse that's got no forelegs and no head, that's hanging from the roof. We just sort of walk past it, and then we come to, oh, I see, it's two horses, one head up and the other, well, they don't have heads, but one sitting on its haunches, sitting on its bottom, and the other one suspended from the roof, and the two of them are in a kind of, well, almost, I suppose, sexual embrace, but hard to describe them. Shocking.
I don't know if this is shocking. For me, not at all. So this work has a lot of things to do with Eros and Thanatos, like you say. It's like making love together on one side, but you know that this work is made after a moulding on dead bodies of horses.
Right. So Eros, the spirit of love, and Thanatos, the spirit of death, combined. So this is your signature, these works on horses that you create. So tell me how you make these.
It's a very long process. I go always to the university, where they have a clinic of sick animals, and when they have for me and horses who died, I go there and look at them, and then I have to decide if I will work with that specific body or not. So it's the choice of the bodies is very important to start with, to create your work. It's like you have to fall in love with them, otherwise I can't use them. Mm. And when this happens, then I go there for 1 week and we do the molding directly on the dead body of the horse, like the work that you have seen, that you see here now. I hang it in this position to do the mold on it. So it's not that we start from something who is laying on the floor. I really make the sculpture with the real body of the horses. And then now when you look to the work and you look closer, then you see there is a lot of deformation and a lot of more abstract side inside, but the starting point is the real thing.
Right. So then you create something inside. What do you put inside it? What's the mold filled with?
With epoxy and strengthened with an iron structure.
Right.
So it looks very heavy, but it isn't.
Right. And then you put the skin on the outside and you rework the skin. So as you say, in the end, it's not quite a horse. It's something you've created sort of out of a horse.
Yeah, and for me it's very important when you enter the space, then you have, first of all, the impression that it is real. But when you go closer, then you will see that it is, it's so abstract in one way. If you look to the neck and the head, that part of the horse is really growing into the other one. So if you have to talk about making love and being one, then that's the part where this happened in this work. And it's like that the mind is not so important anymore. It has all to do with the title of the exhibition and also the title of the work. We are all flesh. In one way, we can't control our emotions or thoughts anymore. And this is the point where we don't have control.
I mean, I suppose the first thing that strikes me is that I'm reminded how enormous a horse is. A horse is a very big thing, isn't it?
Yes. This is also the reason why I work with a horse, because it's huge, and we as human beings, we are so small, and if we are standing next to it. And I think because of this, the emotional side or the way that we look to it is different.
You became famous for horses, or the work you do with horses, for two works, but one of them was at the museum in Flanders, the Flanders Fields Museum, which is in Ypres, which is a museum I've been to, and you were commissioned to make, to make a work that was about death, actually, as I understand it.
Yes, so it's a long time ago, it's 1999, that they invite me to be artist in residence for 1 year. And they have always a connection with contemporary artists. So every year they ask a contemporary artist to think about war today. And I found this very interesting because also for them they know the war, they didn't end up after the first war. So just to make people aware that it is a never-ending story. And then during my research, I was reading a lot of books from their library, watching movies, and also I digged in their archive of photos, and the strongest images that I found there were the images of the city who was bombed and empty and completely destroyed, with the huge bodies of the animals on the floor and no human beings anymore, only dead horses, and the scale of their bodies, that was for me, like, I found the metaphor for death there. And I translated this into my own language, because I thought for Ypres I can't work with the size of a human body, because it's too much related to one by one.
Yes.
And if you talk about war and lust and anger and fear, you need something huge, because it's a huge loss.
Yes, it is heroic in scale, and in the space you've got these five horses that just feel as though they've been hurled at random through the space and landed broken and destroyed. And I guess, you know, someone hearing for the first time that there was a contemporary artist who worked with dead horses, it would sound like something that was just supposed to be shocking or sensational. But the thing about your work is that the seriousness of it, the reflectiveness of it, the philosophical engagement of it are really quite profound.
I think this is very important for me too. I take care of this, because I know that it is very dangerous to work with that kind of materials. Very often you can be very aggressive when you work with this, with these dead bodies. And
The obvious comparison is Damien Hirst, who we talk about a lot on the show. And the question you're always asking about Damien Hirst is he serious? You know, is he making fun of us? What do we make of this man? This man who, you know, maybe he's having a joke. But we don't feel that with you. We know that this is...
I'm glad that you said this, because I never get the intention to hurt people with my work. It's the opposite. I hope that if people look to my work, that they can find some answers in their very existential questions. Because we all have to deal with that on a certain moment. And I think today there is no language anymore to talk about this. We are not open to these topics. They became paradoxes.
Yeah. You know, over the last two or three nights, I've been thinking about your work and learning about your work. And this morning on the news, there were several stories. There was a story about a severed head that was sent to the headquarters of the Canadian Conservative Party. There was the story of Charles Taylor, the former president of Liberia, convicted by the International War Crimes Court. His troops killed or mutilated thousands of people. There was the story of a woman who was forced to carry a sack filled with heads by his troops and laugh as she was walking along. And I just... I mean, the poignancy of this was just reinforced by having thought about your work.
It's a very important thing also for myself that I have this connection with what happens in the world. So I look, I think, more or less in the same way when I hear the news on the radio in the morning when I wake up. Then there is always something to reflect on and to work with. As an artist, I'm very sensitive for things who are going, what's going on around me. It's like I have to find answers for myself during making works on this political or human things.
This is Michael Cathcart on Books and Arts Daily, and we've stepped out of the studio to talk to Belinda de Bruyckere. If I said it right?
Belinda de Bruyckere.
Belinda de Bruyckere. And we're at her exhibition at ACCA, the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art. Oh, my Lord. Now, we've walked into another space here, and there's a large glass case, which is the kind of case you would see in an old-fashioned museum for displaying items. It might be called a vitrine, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's a big glass case. And the wonderful thing about this is it's got a kind of forest inside it.
Yes, I created a forest inside it, but the trees are made out of wax, like I use also for the human beings.
Oh, they look like timber. Let's go and have a look. So when we're right up close, we can see that it's not a tree at all. It's actually made of wax. Is this the kind of wax that candles are made out of?
No, it's not the same one. It's a mix that we make ourselves.
And this is the same technique that we would see in a waxworks museum, is it? Madame Tussauds and all that?
Yes, so I did this work after casting on dead and living trees. So I did a selection of the trees where I was interested to make this work.
And in the lower half of the cabinet, there are folded up blankets, and I know that blankets are a powerful symbol for you.
Absolutely. And personally, I think in this work, it's very good connected, the reason why the blankets are there and the trees. Like, if you look from a bit further, then you ask yourself, why are these blankets there underneath? And I put them there in a way like they were always there. It was like I found the vitrine with the blankets there. And then what I did was just bring in the trees into the vitrine. But then after a while, I start thinking about not the meaning of the blankets, and then I find maybe because of the blankets, the roots of the trees are protected and they are still warm because of such a group of blankets who are laying on this. So to protect the tree, start already from below.
You know, what I love about this work is that really you can interpret it to mean whatever you want as a viewer. And I suppose what it says to me is that it's got something to do with shelter. You know, I'm invited as a human being into this space, and I think, well, when you've got nothing left, you know, there are always the trees. And, you know, I was in the city early this morning, walking here this morning, coming to work, and there were two homeless men past me going in opposite directions, and both of them were wearing blankets like great capes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now there's a man whose only home is a blanket. Mm-hmm. So the blanket can be the most precious thing in the world.
Absolutely. Actually, I did a work who was also very much inspired by situations like you described just now. I made a series of blanket women, I call them. And you can see only naked feet and legs, and for the rest they are completely covered by the blankets. And I used the blankets exactly in the same way, that for the helpless and homeless people there is only one thing, to protect them. But the way that I was using the blanket was also, there were too much blankets, so you are not allowed anymore to breathe or to see. So you feel yourself very naked and completely not comfortable anymore. Mm. So too many warmth and too many blankets changed you completely.
Yeah. Where do we go next?
To the other gallery.
Okay, let's walk to the other gallery. So we're now walking into the other gallery. I know that the crucifixion is an important symbol for you, and as we walk past, back past the horses that we were looking at earlier, mm-hmm. the idea of a body that's been strung up on some kind of display, both as an act of love and as an act of cruelty, it's powerfully there. It's right in front of us.
To be honest, this was for sure an image who inspired me to create especially the group of horses there, because when I was here 2.5 years ago to see the space, I was looking to the space as a church. So for me, this was the main space of the church, and the three galleries beside it worked as smaller chapels. And I was always thinking on the works of Caravaggio and the churches in Italy. So they are showing you another way of dealing with this religion topics.
Yeah.
Because you see the way how human Caravaggio also was to work with these topics of coming from the religion.
You know, you and I probably come from different traditions on this, because I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, and I find when I visit Catholic churches, especially in Europe, I find them a little bit macabre, because you've got this image of a tortured man, a tortured God on display. You've got saints like Saint Bartholomew having his skin ripped off him. You know, you've got saints who are having their entrails pulled out of their guts and wound onto a wheel. Terrible, terrible assaults on the body. And this is mixed up with faith and the love of God and God's love for the human race. These are powerful images, but if you see them as if for the first time, they're quite shocking.
For me, it's very hard to explain these feelings, because I was growing up with these images. So when I was a child, the images exist already. And when we went to church, we've been very curious, who was that man hanging on the cross? So, but it's like I can compare it with my children in the studio. What I do is also not usual.
No, you're an unusual kind of mother.
Yes, but for them it's part of their life, and they never ask me about this. It's normal. But when they bring friends to the studio, this is something different, because then they have to explain what their mother is doing. So, and they do it quite well. So they can explain what the works do with them and how you should look to it, not to naked bodies or dead horses. You should touch it and in a positive way.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to come to your house. It sounds like a lot of fun. Although I don't know whether I want to have dinner at your house. Are you a good cook?
I'm a very good cook.
I'm sure you are. It's just all this meat. Okay, so we've walked into a white box, and hanging on the wall in front of us are four bundles of organic material. Now, I don't know what they are. They could be... I'm thinking, what are they? Are they antlers of animals? Are they the entrails of animals? Am I looking at, you know, the innards, the guts of animals hanging in little bundles on the wall? I don't know what they are. And in the middle of the room, on a pillow, there is a body curled up. I can just see the shoulders and the back. So I think I'm looking at a human body resting as if in a little cradle, but it feels like an adult body. And I don't know whether what's happened here is some kind of atrocity, or whether I'm in a place of stillness. I mean, I'm looking for a narrative, actually, and I'm enjoying not knowing.
I think it's important that when you entered the space, that you are surprised and that you don't can name it, what you are seeing. So also for me, it's important that people have to come closer and to feel and to think about it, because there are always so many layers that I put into my work. There is not only one thing that you should see or one explanation. Also for myself, I did a whole series of the antlers, and the title of that work is Romeo, My Dear. So when you write it down, then you write deer, like the animal,
right.
But when you say it, then it can be my lover. So, and I did this series of portraits, all with the same name, after I was reading The Meat of Ovidius from Diana and Achteon, who Achteon was transformed into a deer and eaten and bitten by his own dogs, and they destroyed them. So in my imagination afterwards, there was only one thing left, and there was the antlers on the floor in the forest. So, and it was like I found them, and to pay respect on Actaeon again, I put them into this series of work.
I love this, because now you've told me it makes sense. Now I know what this is. Can we go a bit closer? I feel as though I'm, you know, intruding in a way. So, yes, we've walked right up close to the body now, and we can see that it's a body that's been dismembered, so it's got no arms, it's got no head, it's got one leg. And it looks like meat, actually. That's the terrible thing. It looks like something you see in a butcher shop.
You think so? In the butcher shop, there is much more red in it. So,
yes, I suppose that's right. It's very, very pale. So you make these from the outside in, do you? You make a mould and lay down a layer of wax.
Yes, different layers.
And so the wax is slightly translucent, and so we can see like blood vessels and organs and things and bruising underneath because you're building from the outside in,
yes.
Are you?
So I paint, let's say, 15, 20 layers of different colors and wax. So I have to make them warm, and with the brush I paint into the silicone mold directly. And because of the temperature of the wax, these layers are melting together, and where I want to have the red or the blue, then I have to make it warmer and let it go melting to the surface again. So that's the technical side of the work.
You know, my main feeling as we come to the end of our conversation is one of immense peace. I feel as though we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but I've experienced something that's like consolation. I don't feel as though I'm, you know, confronted with the fact that I am just meat and that I will die and rot. I mean, I am confronted with that. But I face that fact with a sense of consolation.
Consolation is so important for me because I don't want to leave the people alone with this very existential things. I'm happy that you feel it. When you, now we are nearly on the end of the exhibition, that you don't go back with a bad feeling of that. That was something who gives you hope in a way.
Belinda, it's been loving to talk to you.
Thank you.
Belgian sculptor Belinda de Broekkerere, and she was taking us on a tour of her exhibition called We Are All Flesh. It's on at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art in Melbourne until the end of July, and you'll find details of that on our website. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN.